Chapter 21, Silver's Fall. While the men were still frozen in shock, Silver passed me a pistol.
"Stand by for trouble," he whispered.
Suddenly the men dove for the pit and scrambled around in the dirt. They uncovered a few coins, but the treasure was gone. Finally they scrambled out of the opposite side from Long John Silver and began to shout at him.
"There's just the two of them,"
a pirate by the unlikely name of George Mary said.
"A cripple and a cub ought to be easy enough for us to..."
Crack, crack, crack.
3 musket shots rang out from the thicket. Mary tumbled into the hole and the pirate with the bandaged head fell after him. The last 3 members of Silver's crew turned and ran. At the same moment, the doctor, Gray, and Ben Gunn joined us with smoking muskets.
"Forward,"
the doctor shouted.
"We must head them off the boats."
We dashed after the running pirates, but soon saw they weren't headed for the boats at all, but were climbing another hill. So we sat to rest.
"Thank ye kindly, doctor," Silver said. "And it's a treat to see you in the flesh, Ben Gunn."
"So where's the treasure?" I asked. The story that followed clearly fascinated Silver. It seemed that Gunn had discovered Flint's skeleton compass while wandering the island and realized it must be a kind of pointer. From that, he'd found the treasure and hauled it bit by bit back to his cave. When the doctor sought him out, Gunn had shown him the treasure, and together they'd worked out a plan for getting the better of the pirates. The ghostly voices were all Gunn's idea, the doctor told us. Gunn squirmed with embarrassed pleasure as we praised him to the moon. Finally, we headed down to the beach, where the doctor smashed a hole in the side of one of the pirates' boats with a pickaxe. Then we took the other boat and paddled to the north inlet to collect the Española. We sailed the ship around to Rum Cove, where Ben Gunn's cave lay, and rejoined the captain and the squire. The squire barely spoke to me, clearly more than a little angry. The doctor caught them up on the details of my adventures, and the captain finally patted my shoulder in a friendly way.
"You're a good boy in your way, Jim," he said. "But I don't think you and me will go to sea again. I prefer those that follow orders, not adventure."
We had a fine celebration dinner, and Silver ate heartily but quietly. The next day, we loaded the treasure on the Española and sailed for home, leaving the island and the last of the pirates behind. I do not know if they ever came to learn the island as well as old Ben Gunn. Silver proved to be an able hand and worked as hard as anyone, but it would be a lie to say we trusted him. The captain lay on deck on a mattress and gave orders, and every man worked until exhausted to get the great ship to the nearest port. We finally dropped anchor in the most beautiful landlocked gulf. Boats filled with islanders rowed out to meet us, their arms draped with goods to sell. Their smiling faces were a welcome sight after all we'd been through. We went ashore to buy more supplies for the journey home and to hire a few hands. Ben Gunn stayed aboard to watch over Silver. When we returned, Silver was gone. He'd escaped with a sack of gold coins. I do believe everyone felt pleased we were rid of him so cheap, and so we reached home. We each had our share of treasure. Gunn spent his share with startling speed and soon ended up quite broke. He lives in a small lodge in the country now. Captain Smollett is now retired from the sea. Gray spent time in study and saved his money wisely. He's now mate and part owner of a fine ship. I never heard again of Long John Silver. I dare say he met up with his wife and perhaps lives in comfort with her and his parrot. I do hope so. He wasn't a good man, but he was good to me in his own way. We know there's still more of Flint's treasure on that island, but I have no interest in returning. Nothing would bring me again to that island. The worst dreams I have are when I hear the booming surf on the coast. I often start right up in bed with the sharp voice of that parrot still ringing in my ears.
"Pieces of 8! Pieces of 8!"